On Tuesday's front page, support for the war in Afghanistan has dropped sharply in the last 4 months. We'll look at the numbers from the latest New York Times CBS News poll. For some people with diabetes, stomach stapling surgery may be the best medicine, better than the usual combination of drugs, diet, and exercise. And we'll look at the professor who pushed his objections to the healthcare overhaul into the mainstream of legal thinking and onto the agenda of the Supreme Court. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says support for the war in Afghanistan has dropped among Republicans and Democrats in recent months. That's according to the latest New York Times CBS News poll. 69% said the U.S. should not be at war in Afghanistan at all. That's up from 53% back in November. 68% now say they believe the fighting is going somewhat badly or very badly. That's up from 42% in November. Among Republicans, 34% now believe the war is going well. That's a 20-point drop from November. The poll comes as the White House is weighing options for speeding up U.S. troop withdrawals. It also follows a rampage that left 17 Afghan civilians dead. Army Sergeant Robert Bales is facing murder charges. Also on Tuesday's front page, new research indicates weight loss surgery can alleviate diabetes brought on by obesity. Times reporter Denise Grady says stomach stapling surgery was more likely to send diabetes into remission than the typical combination of drugs, diet, and exercise. Two new studies found the surgery helped far more patients generate normal blood sugar levels than medicine by itself. The results were apparently dramatic. Some patients were able to stop taking insulin 3 days after their operations. The surgery also helped many patients lower their blood pressure and cholesterol. Tuesday's front page has a profile of the law professor who's at least partly responsible for this week's Supreme Court hearings on the healthcare overhaul. Randy Barnett is a libertarian. He's been saying the healthcare bill was unconstitutional since before Congress passed it. He's pushed that argument into the mainstream with prolific writings and public appearances. Now the High Court is exploring some of the challenges he cited. Washington Bureau Chief David Leonhardt explains what happened on day one.
The opening to the 3 days of argument was somewhat unusual in that it was highly technical, and the two opposing sides were actually on the same side of this question. And the question really is, does the Supreme Court have authority to hear this case yet? The argument that it doesn't, that had to be presented by an outside lawyer because neither of the two sides wanted to make it, is that you can't oppose a tax until that tax has been collected. And in this case, a tax, which is a penalty for not getting health insurance, won't be collected until a couple of years down the line. Both sides in this case, both the Obama administration and the outsiders opposing it, say no, it is fine for the Supreme Court to hear this. Court watchers seem to think the court was receptive to their case, which is to say that the main event really starts when you start to get debate over whether, in fact, the government has the power to compel people to hold health insurance.
Washington Bureau Chief David Leonhardt. The Federal Trade Commission wants new privacy legislation. It's calling for more regulation of data collection companies that compile personal and financial information on consumers. The agency is also recommending giving people access to their own data once it's been collected. Danilo Miranda is the envy of arts administrators who are tightening their belts. He has more money than he can spend. Miranda runs the leading arts financing organization in Brazil. His budget is growing by 10% a year. It's currently $600 million. The money comes from a 1.5% payroll tax, so when Brazil's workforce expands, the arts budget does too. Times reporter Larry Roeder says it helps that Brazil's economy is booming. Here in New York, private schools are getting more aggressive in fundraising. They've beefed up what they call development offices that solicit contributions. They're also mining data online for details about parents' homes, their stock holdings, and their donations to other charities. That lets the schools pitch wealthy parents with the personal touch. Apparently it's paying off. Median annual giving at 20 New York private schools has climbed more than 260% in the last 10 years. Inside Tuesday's Times, President Obama called on China to restrain North Korea. In a 90-minute meeting in South Korea, he pressed Chinese President Hu Jintao to use his influence to stop the North from going ahead with a satellite launch next month. New details about Bo Jilai and his crusade against organized crime in China. He was fired last month amid a scandal involving his police chief. Critics now say his campaign to wipe out organized gangs involved framing victims and getting confessions through torture. They also say well-connected friends were protected. Rivals faced retribution. Tuesday's Business Day section says the arguments on health care weren't the only thing going on at the Supreme Court. The justices also ordered a new look at gene patents. That decision directed appellate judges to reconsider a ruling that let a company called Myriad Genetics patent two genes. The justices said to take a second look in light of a ruling last week that said a diagnostic test was not eligible for patents because it was a simple application of a law of nature. The two genes in this case, by the way, are associated with a high risk of breast and ovarian cancer. That's our preview of Tuesday's Times. We're down to the final four here, not the final four in college basketball, but the final four episodes of the Front Page podcast. The Times is dropping this program after March 31st, so I only get to say this four more times. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.